thank you, Steve. I am delighted to speak with you and delighted that there is a season. I didn't know for sure for several months, and I had a lot of people tell me there is no way that they're going to start this thing in September if they start it at all. You better figure in October or November and they'll do some kind of abbreviated thing. But here we are approaching the opening of the 2020 season tonight.
And here we go. It's going to open up tonight, and the Eagles get an opportunity, obviously, to open as well. Let's start about one of the intriguing moves that had to be made, and that was Jason Peters going from right guard to left tackle. Obviously, he knows how to play it. There's no getting around it. But what is this now, the domino effect for this Eagles offensive line, which had to be done out of necessity?
Well, it changes, and you put Matt Pryor, who doesn't have a lot of experience, in at right guard. And the big thing there is I'm concerned about depth. They really do not have experienced depth on the offensive line. It would be misleading to say that they did. Now, they have some young players who look to be talented, but they're inexperienced, not the least of which is Jordan Mailata, the former rugby player who came here a few years ago and tried to learn football. And I don't know how far along he is, because we didn't have a preseason. That's where you really needed a preseason, at least three preseason games to allow these guys to go out and play. But that's what you have. You have a rookie by the name of Jack Driscoll, who is intriguing, came out of Auburn after playing at Connecticut for 3 years. But again, a guy who does not have NFL experience. Even the most accomplished college player, the number one draft choice, Jalen Reagor, and I'm not sure he's ready to go this week, but even if he is, he's going from college football, even if it's at the highest level of TCU, into the NFL, and there is a vast difference in the speed of the game.
In fact, what's interesting is you're in a spot that I'm in every season. No preseason games, and you come out of the gate with that first game, and then you start to really find out with certain players how they're going to be. In the NFL, that doesn't happen. There's always preseason games. So how different is this for you to view the Eagles for the first time in a regular season game?
I'm going to be honest with you. This is my 44th season. Some people think it's my 144th season, but it's my 44th season. And I have never entered a season knowing less about this team and less about everybody else. I know that people moan about the preseason games, but it's still football. It's still a format, and it's still watching players acclimate themselves into an NFL offense and defense. I can tell you who looked good at practice, but
sure,
practice does not tell the story. I mean, there are players who have surprised you where they've struggled through a camp and they've come on and have great seasons, and then there are the Mr. Augusts of this world who just catch everything at training camp, and they get into a regular season game and their hands turn to stone.
Yep. You and I have the same experience when it comes to it. I mean, I may be going 30th season, but you and I both know I was referred to them as the 5 o'clock hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I'll tell you, they go out for batting practice, and that ball's being driven all over the place, and they get in the game, and they're 0 for 4 with 2 strikeouts, a couple of weak grounders to short, because suddenly they're throwing breaking stuff they didn't see before.
Well, if you've ever gone to a PGA golf tournament and gone out to the range before they begin the round, and you see the players that morning, and somebody is just hitting draws and fades and doing everything he wants to, and then he goes out that day and three putts four times and shoots 77. You just don't know.
Exactly. I mean, I'll see that in basketball practice. Man, he's hitting every three-point shot. Put him in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come up with eight different ways of saying no good. All right, so...
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to Carson Wentz. Obviously, a lot revolves on what's going to happen with him. For him to make the next step on the field, Merrill, where now you know, like, I mean, he's done so many good things. What are a couple of little things that he maybe has to do that Doug wants to see him do that then takes everybody with him?
Well, there's one big thing, really, and that's stay healthy. And, you know, Buddy Ryan said years ago, durability is as important as ability. And I don't want to accuse him of being not durable, because he did in his first year start play all 16 games. The second year, he was the MVP of the league before he went down against the Rams. The next year, he did have a back problem, but last year he came back and he played all 16 regular season games until Jadeveon Clowney hit him in the Seattle playoff game and he hit his head on the ground and had the concussion. But, I mean, he hung in there. He's big, he's tough, he's strong. Every quarterback is endangered species while he's out there. I mean, some people refer to Aaron Rodgers as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and I can understand why. But we've seen him go down for parts of seasons. With him, the injury du jour seems to have been the broken collarbone, but we've seen that happen many times. We saw Peyton Manning go through a whole career practically without missing a play, let alone a game. And then, boom, he went down and missed an entire season with a neck injury. The only one who seemed to have hung in there, Eli, who was nowhere near as spectacular as Peyton, never seemed to get hurt. And Brett Favre would go out there and play with two broken arms and a dislocated shoulder, but he stayed out there. So there are those rare, rare species. But most quarterbacks do get hurt at some point. But Carson is big and he's strong and he's in the best shape of his life. And if he stays healthy and the offensive line allows him to survive, I think he's going to have a great year.
When you look at the receiver, because you mentioned Rager, they put a lot of effort into the receiver part, but there's one point, I think, during the preseason where they were back down to the exact same guys they had last year. Now, Jeffrey's around, Rager's around. What does Carson Wentz need from this receiving group? Because it's one thing for the quarterback to help the receivers need to help the quarterback.
He needs this receiving core to stay on the field, not to be repetitious. Jeffrey's not ready to go. I don't know when he will be, but he's not going to play this week. He's had that foot injury, and I don't know when he's coming back. Rager has been out for several weeks, but he could be back this week in a limited way. The guy who is back and he's 100% healthy is the burner, DeSean Jackson, who last year destroyed Washington in the opener and then only played another few plays in the second game and was lost for most of the season. I don't know what the over-under on DeSean Jackson is. If he stays healthy when he's out there, he's a force, but can he give you 10 games? I wouldn't bet on it. I mean, I hope so, but he does get hurt. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was a rookie last year and wasn't greatly successful, but neither was Mike Quick, believe it or not. His rookie year, he caught 10 passes, and that's what Arcega-Whiteside caught last year, 10 passes. The guy that Mike looks at and is very proud that he wears number 82, which was Mike's number, is John Hightower out of Boise State. And I wouldn't be surprised if he isn't involved in more than a couple of plays this Sunday when they open at RFK. And RFK, right, does say RFK? FedEx.
Yeah, it's FedEx, yeah.
FedEx, I have to remember the name of the team and the stadium.
I mean it's the Washington Football Club.
Washington Football Team.
Washington Football Team.
We had a run-through this morning, and I called them the R-word 6 times.
just refer to them as them.
They're the Washington them. Whatevers.
Yeah, right. Them. They have it.
Them. They have it, okay.
Yeah. defensively, Merrill, what's the positive going in, do you think, defensively on this team? And then what could solve a lot of problems if a potential weakness becomes a strength?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm still waiting for Javon Hargrave, who they picked up from the Steelers in the offseason, to be healthy. He's been hurt. But when he comes back, and it shouldn't take too long, and Malik Jackson is back after injury last year, and you have Brandon Graham, who I think a lot of people don't give him the credit he deserves. He's a leader. He's just a terrific player with a great motor. Derek Barnett, he's had injury problems. But when he's out there, I think they have a lot of talent on that offensive line. And if Hargrave and Malik Jackson can help keep the double teams off of Fletcher Cox, he is just going to wreak havoc on opponents' backfields and quarterbacks. He's just a great, great player.
All right, so now, you know, with the season opening up, how interested are you to be at the level of play? I mean, at the end, there's going to be a winner and a loser, and whomever wins is going to feel really good about themselves, and whoever lost is going to have to go back to the drawing board in some areas. How interested are you in what the level of play might look at because of the fact there wasn't as much hitting, there were no preseason games, and so forth?
Well, I'm not all that concerned for this reason. I thought the level of play was horrible for the last 10 years because coaches have gone away from playing their regulars during the preseason. They put them out there for a series in the first preseason game. They put them out for a quarter in the second preseason game. They let them play a half in the third preseason game sometimes, and then they sit them in the fourth preseason game. So there are a lot of flags going on during the September games. It usually takes you four games to see what we used to consider real NFL football. So I ask, can it look any worse? We'll see.
Yeah, and in fact, that's what when people have asked me, you go out and speak to groups, and they'll comment to me about, oh, Penn State's tackling is so bad. And I sit back, I look at it, I said, everybody's is. To me, it's not usually till the third game.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you've had two games where you tackled, until the third game where you kind of feel like you've got something crisp out there. That's just my observation, Merrill.
No, you're right. You're right. And this year, not only did they not tackle, they stood 6 feet away. They social distanced.
Yeah, it's true.
This is going to be very different.
Yeah, very different indeed. Any read that you have on Washington? Because obviously there weren't any preseason games there. There's no Adrian Peterson. What's your thought on Washington?
I think they've got some really good players. I really mean that. I think Dwayne Haskins, by the time he played the Eagles last year, he looked pretty good to me. He really did. He was coming along. I'm not ready to anoint him an all-pro, but I'm not also ready to say that he won't be their quarterback of the future and be a very good one. We have to see more. They have to see more. They have a guy this year wearing number 99, and I can't wait to see him. And the Eagles better keep him in their scope on every single play, and I know you've seen him, and that's Chase Young. He has to make that defense better. He is a ferocious pass rusher. So he's something. They have a bunch of backs that you really haven't heard of. They have Terry McLaurin again, who was a good rookie wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Nobody to speak up unless you're a Jeremy Sprinkles fan or Sprinkle fan at tight end or Logan Thomas. Their offensive line is okay. But nothing great. I think their strength is their defensive front four, and they're going to a 40 this year. They've been at a 30 for years, but they're going to a 40 this year. And when you have you change up with Ryan Kerrigan and Chase Young, I think they can be frightening.
Yeah, no question. And then I mentioned obviously no Adrian Peterson.
No.
Antonio Gibson.
I think he just signed with the Lions, by the way.
Yeah, Lions, yeah. But Antonio Gibson, who's the rookie out of Memphis, obviously I did his last game because it was the Cotton Bowl.
Oh, that's right.
That's an interesting player to watch because he can catch it, but he's got more speed and power. And again, I've got the advantage. I've actually seen him, and obviously you're going to see him for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I know they talk about the fact that he's about 230 pounds, and he did play some wide receiver at Memphis. So, but look, the Eagles have one of those, too. Not as big, of course, but somebody you might have heard of at some point, they're Miles Sanders. Can he catch the football?
Yeah, I recall him. Yeah.
By the way, I have to tell you, he's not only a terrific football player, he is a terrific young man. He is a welcome in that locker room. He's as nice and polite and dedicated. He's a credit to Penn State.
Yeah, he sure is. I'll tell you, Mom means a lot to him, and he is really special guy. Yeah, special guy. And so are you. 44th season. My respect for you grows every year, my friend. Thank you so much.
Oh, I love, you know, Steve, I love doing it. I just love doing it. I will never willingly give this thing up. I mean, it's only 44 seasons, so I want to do another 44. I love it. But, I mean, if you talk about me, I'm somebody who during this coronavirus period where you couldn't go into work, I spend an average of 8 days a week on the golf course. And I just love to play golf. But you know what? I love to broadcast football even more. And it's my greatest passion in the world, and I love it just as I love hearing you do the Penn State games. You do a fabulous, fabulous job. And I hope Penn State is back and playing football before too long. And we can all hear Steve Jones, who is one of the best at his craft.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. And you know what? It's interesting how you and I feel the same way about the job. I mean,
I don't know if I told you, but this will be the first game in 44 years that I won't be at. We are doing all of the games this year from Lincoln Financial Field. They've moved us down a level into a suite, a big suite, and that's nice. And Mike Quick and I will sit four seats apart, and then our spotter will sit on the other side of a piece of plexiglass, and our producer will be behind us in plexiglass, and our statistician will be behind us, and the producer and the statistician will be feeding us information on a screen electronically. No cards, no notes. And we will be having, for this away game, we will have two 60 or 70 inch monitors in front of us. It will be the best seat I've had for an at Washington game in my career.
Yes.
It will be great.
I've been in that booth.
Oh, I know you have. Oh, it's a mess. It's a mess.
It's a disaster.
When they go past the 50, I don't know if they picked up 6 yards or 16. The worst.
I know. It's the worst location in all of sports. So, yes, you'll finally have one at FedEx where you can see everything that's going on. And because they moved you into a suite, I hope they cater it like it was game day.
Well, they won't. I mean, we do have an outer lobby with a bar and a men's room and chairs, things like that. But I think the best they'll do is put in a box lunch and some diet soda. But that's fine with me. Let me tell you something. When the Eagles play home and we're in that same booth and they open up the windows, oh, what a seat. It's the best seat in the house. It's great. And one other thing. We're going to, even though the stadiums won't have fans, we will have crowd noise.
Okay.
And the way they've worked that out is the crowd noise is going to be fed from the visiting or the home stadium, but the NFL is going to feed the crowd noise, and they have it all categorized. So whoever is feeding that crowd noise will be pushing buttons like playing a piano, and the crowd will sound differently if somebody gains a yard and a half as opposed to somebody hauling down an 80-yard bomb. There is a reaction for every occurrence. So I think that's kind of neat.
That is neat. Wow. See, look at all the information we got here in the end. This has been great.
See that?
All right.
It'll be different. I can't wait.
Oh, man. Well, hey, good luck with all of it. I know you'll be great. Thanks so much for your time, Merrill.
I'll do my best, and I'll have fun, and hopefully it will be an entertaining season that will go from start to finish, fingers crossed, uninterrupted.
Yeah, start to finish. Exactly. And maybe the finish means Tampa. All right.
Maybe.
Appreciate it. Yeah, well, who knows? Thank you so much, Merrill. Appreciate you very much.
Anytime, Steve. Always love speaking with you, and I hope you have a great day. And hi to all the Nittany Lion fans.